ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu.
Now it's kicking in.
I know, we wait till it kicks in.
We wait till it kicks in out of respect.
For whom?
For Uma Sumac?
Ema.
Ema Uma.
Okay, Letterman. Thank you very much.
I've now just been canceled. I was supposed to host the Academy Awards, and they just texted me and said, no, thank you. We don't need that sort of humor on our show. Their loss. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's the bonus hour, the Bill and Wendy show. It's the stream of consciousness. You can name it whatever you want. We're just thrilled that you're listening.
I call it crap.
That's a lot of people have called it that, Wendy. You're not the first. Many people have referred to it as that. And who's to say they're wrong? We're going to turn that around right now. Len Ostrovich is here in the studio with us. Len, a longtime friend. Longtime friend.
Of whom?
Of, I like to think myself. Len, can you corroborate?
I'm a good friend of yours and to many more.
Yes.
You're not my only friend.
What?
You're not the
You
only
have
guy.
Other friends other than
Sorry,
me?
Sorry, he had to break that to you, Bill.
I do.
I feel all cold inside all of a sudden. Len and I have known each other since our days doing stand-up. We were stand-up comics together, and then you opened up your own comedy club, The Funny Firm.
Yeah.
And wow, you became an entrepreneur in no time.
I turned the microphone around and got behind the scenes.
Yeah. Radio fans here in Chicago will know Len, a frequent contributor to Kevin Matthews' show. You played an array of characters on that show for a long time.
I certainly did.
And Wendy just found out about that, and all of a sudden she's glad you're here.
That's awesome.
She was very indifferent toward you until you said that you played a couple of roles on the show. And
I should have brought my resume. Then she would have known.
No, I know now, and I knew then.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
The good old days.
The good old days.
That was fun.
Radio was very different back then, but that's why we have the stream and the stream of consciousness, because it's kind of coming back.
We're regressing to the days when radio was less structured.
That's how I do much in my life.
Isn't it better that way?
Yep.
It's not a bad thing, actually.
Not really. There's not a lot of pressure on you.
That's how we like to do it.
We're not only going backwards, we are considered the rearview mirror of radio.
Outstanding.
Yeah, we're very proud of that.
Thank you, I think.
You're welcome.
I kind of was mad at you for a half a second.
What?
It's like, oh, I'll take it.
Come on.
I like it.
All right. Now, this is a strange transition.
It is. Good luck with that.
You have gone through something that every parent has nightmares about, and you have gone through it, and you continue to go through it, and let's talk a little about that if you're okay with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Your son, Miles.
Yes.
Not just an incredible kid. I can say this because I wasn't Miles' father, as far as you know. You were his father.
As far as I know.
As far as we know. But he, Miles, an incredible kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a rock star.
Yeah.
A genius. He was very intelligent.
Hysterically funny.
Hysterically funny and a great audience.
Yes.
He would laugh at anything I did. So right there, as comedians and psychopaths who need that.
Yes.
He's the perfect son.
He was the perfect foil for you, the perfect companion.
He was.
Yeah. And I remember from the time he was a small boy, he was around comedy.
Always.
Always. Yeah. And that helped shape him and mold him and make him the person that he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. This is where things get incredibly hard to talk about, but it's true. Let's tell his story a little bit.
For sure. So when he was 16... he had some headaches and problems with his vision, and we thought it was maybe poor vision, or
he needed glasses, maybe
he needed glasses, or he was having headaches, and it just wasn't going away. And then one day he drank overnight like an entire 5-gallon jug of water.
He was always thirsty.
He was always thirsty, but especially thirsty then.
Yeah.
But he drank the whole thing, and we were like, something's up here. So we brought him over to Children's Memorial, which is now Lurie's.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was asking him questions, and he said, so you're drinking a lot? And they said yes, and he was waking up with headaches, which is never a good sign. I guess if you have a headache later in the day is good, but if you're waking up, and he said, yeah, we better do a CAT scan. And we went into the hospital room where they do the CAT scans, and the doctor came back and said, can we talk to you over here? At that point, we know this isn't good news. So he told us that there was a mass on the brain, and they weren't really sure what it was. And that became the beginning of the roller coaster that really hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
Even now. I mean, as you can imagine, once that happens in your life, it kind of takes the rudder and guides you through.
Yeah.
So he had cancer and fought it bravely. And unfortunately, when he was 20, he succumbed. And but as odd as it seems, those 4 years were the best years of my life because we laughed and I spent more time. We traveled and he had treatments in Los Angeles. He did a stem cell transplant out there and he had hip surgery at Duke. And it was just incredible. So I spent almost every single day for 4 years. So it kind of puts the rest of the things you're doing on hold. And the way we kind of just got through it was jokes. There was nothing off limits mm-hmm. between him and I. And at the beginning, when the kids go through this, they kind of, they're just connected from their friends. And I remember the first weekend he was in the hospital, he was supposed to have some friends come in and visit, and they didn't show up. And the next day, I'm like, well, what happened? Where were your friends? And she, I don't know. They didn't want to come. I don't think I really have friends. And I was like, what? And just that's part of the evil of this cancer is it just twists your thinking and your rationale around, and it just that was devastating to hear that, because he was the most popular kid in so many sure. people. So it really kind of threw it off, and that's when I got this idea of kind of showing him that people did care about him, and that's where I came up with Jokes for Miles. And so basically, because I was running the Lakeshore Theater at that time, which is a comedy club up on Broadway in Belmont. It's now the Laugh Factory. And always being in comedy and booking shows and stuff, I would go up to, how comics are. They'll tell the other guy's bit. Oh, yeah. This guy did a bit about that, which I would always share with him. And then I started thinking I could get these comics to just do it directly to Miles. So I was taping them, doing the bits to Miles, not in front of an audience, but just sort of a one-on-one. And he loved it. So then I went to his school and did a joke-a-thon there, so all the kids were telling jokes and well wishes. You didn't have to be funny, and his mm-hmm. teachers, just to show him, the support that was out there, and it kind of, took off, and people were sending in jokes all over, and somehow the press got a hold of it, and we were on World News Tonight, made it to the Yahoo homepage, and it was just an amazing thing, and he was so blown away with the fact that people would take time to wish him well, and that's just really such a very simple thing to send in a joke or write or whatever. So he started posting it on Jokes for Miles' website.
Yeah.
And, we were very lucky. A lot of celebrities.
Some big names.
Yeah.
Some huge names.
Name names.
Pete Swanson, who's a plumber in Berwyn.
he was in this?
He used him. And that was really a coup. We didn't think we were going to get him, but the mayor of Berwyn arranged that.
Once you get Pete Swanson, they say the floodgates open.
It's that's what you say. Like if I wanted to get on the show, I would say Pete Swanson is a part of this.
All of a sudden,
fan club of ours.
You're in.
No, we got Bill Murray, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Andy Dick, Ernie Banks. Just people everywhere would rally to the cause, and it wasn't always a joke. It was, hey, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah,
which is just as important as the joke, or just to let people or let these kids or anybody that's going through that. And that's something your listeners should know, is the power of just acknowledging it and just saying, hey, I'm here for you or whatever, is very powerful. And that really becomes the fuel to get through the journey.
So that phrase that we've all heard 1,000 times, laughter is the best medicine, it's not true. Penicillin is the best medicine.
Actually, but baby aspirin is.
Baby aspirin, then penicillin, then laughter.
Yes.
The three best medicines.
Yeah.
But there is some healing power in it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I really look at myself in those 4 years as like his personal court jester.
Yeah.
So I was always trying to make jokes, and then he did it because, sense of humor doesn't necessarily mean that you're funny, but that you have a good understanding or a sense of humor.
Sure.
And his ability to just find jokes in every single thing that we did, making fun of the doctors and the nurses and me doing repetitive jokes. I would always come in and just repeat the same horse jokes. Why can't Mr. Ed become president because he's always horsing around or whatever. Why can't a class? So just the most base.
That kills.
The first 50 times he heard it, it
did
didn't
kill. Did
you
steal that from Pete the plumber? Because he does a similar
Pete Swanson?
Joke.
No, he does the one about clowns. You can't. Why wouldn't you elect Bozo?
Why?
Because he's always clowning around.
That's right.
That was his
horsing around.
Yeah, mine was a little rewrite on that. Mine was more with a. It's more of an equestrian.
It is the theme.
Slant.
Yes.
I am so sorry to hear this news about your son Miles, but you have to feel some good spot in your heart that you started this and helped in those last 4 years.
Oh my!
You should be so proud of yourself.
Well, thank you. I am proud, and as I said, it was just, and it continues, you know, to. Empower me and kind of has taken the direction from being the sleazy club owner trying to sell two drinks or more and getting that ticket sale on the weekend to really, you know, making an impact with him. And he was so, I remember I showed him the Jay Leno, our friend T-Shawn. I don't know if you remember T-Shawn
Shannon. Yeah.
He asked Jay to do a joke and he did this joke. And he turned it off. I think that was actually the first joke I showed him.
Really?
And the first thing he said was, "We got to do this for other kids."
Oh,
I mean, he was
just selfless.
Very
in that situation.
Selfless. Yeah. If you were eating dinner with him, he was very selfish. He wouldn't let you. If you wanted a bite of his steak,
nothing.
Very
selfish.
It's
hard
selfish.
To share food.
Yeah.
I really agree with that.
He was kind of, you know. Not nice in that way, but in other ways, when it came to other kids, he was good.
I know this is an incredibly personal question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How were you able to balance during this whole period the unfairness of it all, the reality of it all, but at the same time, having to be strong and brave for Miles? How were you able to do that?
It just happened. I mean, you didn't think about it. When this happens, you don't have time to think.
Yeah.
Literally, they said you have a mass on your brain. And he was in brain surgery 24 hours later.
Yeah.
And then you're meeting with this doctor and then you're doing this and it just kept going on and on and on. So you really don't have time. You go into that survival mode and you're trying to protect your child and
yeah.
You don't really think. You just do this stuff and it levels the playing field. His mom and I were divorced at the time and it just like everything went away.
Yeah.
We're all on a team. We're all getting together. His stepfather was part of that and you make the adjustments, but it's like it's second nature.
You're not the priority.
Yeah,
Miles is.
I just couldn't do anything else.
Yeah,
and when you as a parent, you get to the point where you're like, I can't do anything. You can only do so much.
It's beyond your control.
Yeah, medicine can do so much, and then you kind of take over, and that's what you cope with and.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, let's make the best of it. I mean, it really gets down to that where you got two choices. Are you going to succumb to this?
Right.
And are you going to lose and spin completely out of control, which happens to some parents?
But, sure.
You know, and he was, he kept fighting and we would try different procedures. He went through some very aggressive therapies. He did two, or actually three stem cell transplants, which was very, not controversial. What's the word? Something the dentist would say, something in the back car. Are we on password right now?
I don't know what it was. Could you call us tomorrow when you think of the word?
It was controversial. The right thing.
Controversial.
Cutting edge?
Cutting edge.
It started with a C?
It's something, cuties.
Clear? No.
I'm an idiot.
No, please.
It has to do with the dentist.
Yeah.
That's right. It was radical. And
I don't think that's...
No, that is the word.
Is it? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry. It was keratical. It is a C word.
That's okay. What
it was keratical in the fact that... experimental. That's it. It was an experimental process where... A stem cell transplant is where you would, they harvest your stem cells, and it was autologous, so they take your own, they freeze it, and then they actually give you a lifetime's dosage of chemotherapy, and they just about kill you. So you have to go then into isolation, and they really bring you almost close to death, and then when you start coming back, they inject your cells back into the system, and the idea is, they've wiped out everything and then recoup. So a double stem cell transplant, this doctor, Dr. Finley in Los Angeles kind of wrote that protocol. So we went out there because, of course, you're trying to, you know, find anything that will work. And We went there and still have remained friends with him. And coincidentally, he trained Dr. Fangasero here at Lurie's. He was their teacher. So this guy, you know, is a be-all, end-all, know-all of the brain tumor world.
So all this leads, Len, to where we are today. Tell us the reason you're on the show today. What's going on?
I'm here to talk about Rockstar Rosie, who is just this incredible, incredible child.
Rosie Colucci.
And she was buddies with Miles. And we did a 24-hour joke-a-thon, and she was there, and really have gotten to know her and her mom and their family, Joanne and Bella, her sister, and is the most inspirational thing I've ever crossed paths with. This another girl diagnosed at 3. She's 12 and a half now, multiple recurrences, brain tumors, and a host of other things. And through it all, they raise money for other charities. They create awareness. Mm-hmm. They are the most selfless people. Almost every single weekend, they're out raising money for research and for advocacy. You might recognize she worked with Novak Construction, which is on.
Oh, sure.
If you drive by there
on the holidays.
On the holidays.
Yeah.
And those signs, they made a sign for her, Rosie. So if you've ever seen Rosie on that. And that's another example. She went out and raised 10,000 or ten thousands of dollars to put the gold ribbon up there for pediatric awareness.
Good.
So always the highest fundraiser at a lot of the events, Demonthon, and just an incredible person. So the reason she's so great is she's raised almost $800,000 for charities.
Wow.
And
she's 12.
She's 12. I mean, and she's just amazing. She's with Steve Cochran's Kid of the Year, been honored by, you know, so many different organizations, and the Red Cross Child of the Year, and I can go on and on and on. But her story is really her selflessness and her family's dedication to really trying to find a cure, to get people to be aware. And, you know, they always say, well, we're trying to raise awareness. It really is important because there's so little research dollars that go through for pediatric cancer. And if your kid has it and you're searching for a cure, the more, you know, if you make one person know and have the ability to make a donation or give money to research. So it's really like one of those things where you just turn it around, and just so selfless, this kid. So, and she's really kind of, she's like a celebrity kid where she's almost been robbed of her, you know, she's like, you know, Danny Bonaducci in a very weird way, or any of these other, I shouldn't be saying that. That's painting the wrong picture, maybe. But she has almost been robbed of her childhood.
Right.
But she's turning it around. I mean, you have dinner with her, and she's, you know, she's part of research studies. And I remember one time I'm talking, and she's talking about, oh, you know, I'll probably dedicate or donate my body to science. I mean, it's a 12-year-old kid.
Wow. She's been forced to grow up very quickly.
Very quickly. And in this journey, this family has just been crushed financially.
Yeah.
And they don't ask for money. And jokes for miles, we came along. And part of what we do is we try to tell stories. And we don't take donations. Our whole saying is we ask for jokes, not donations. But we like to highlight other charities and other individuals that are worthy of support and help. And so we partnered up with BTB, which is a couple of brothers out of the Northwest suburbs who host a golf tournament, and they raise money that goes directly to families. So they'll give financial support. So they've raised $800,000 themselves, which they give to families. And so we partnered up with them, and we created a Dream Fund page so that people can help offset the unbelievable expenses. They spent $10,000 just in parking during the treatments, millions of dollars in coverage and you know, in deductibles, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, unfortunately, they've declared bankruptcy. They lost their home. It's a single mom. She can't get a job because she has to take her kid to treatments all the time. So it's very difficult to find an employer that's going to weather through that. I mean, it's business is business. And so we're just trying to, we'd love to get her a home because they've had to move 3 or 4 times. They're in subsidized housing now. And just in these years to get some sort of stability so they're not constantly searching for the next dollar. And that's it. I mean, she's, you know, went down last week to get on food stamps, and they're very proud, like they won't take money.
Life is not fair.
It isn't, unless you look at how much positivity that they bring in there.
Right.
So you kind of, you have to not rationalize it, but accept it. And they do it beyond anybody I've ever met. I mean, I really feel like I've taken a positive look on the experience, but I learn stuff from Joanne every day, and they're so knowledgeable, and they're so, you know, just taking that experience and helping others. So
how do we help? How do people listening help?
I would, we built them a webpage. It's another thing, our organization does, and it's rockstarrosie.com. And, you can go there, and there's a really nice, video. One of the things with my background in production is we follow kids around, or I've been following kids around, taping them. So I didn't know why I was going to do that. But just to document and create time capsules for parents and family to see that. So I've been taping her for the last, since Miles, was friends. And I put together this little video, which kind of tells her story. And our friends Mike Toomey and Pat Tomasulo from the morning show did a little funny intro to kind of show her. We call her the wackiest kid with cancer because she's got just a great sense of humor, and to tell her story. And you can go to her Dream Fund page, which you can link off of her, off of Rockstar Rosie.
Rosie, by the way, spelled R-O-S-I-E. If
correct.
People are trying to find it online, that's how you find it. Okay.
And,
.com.
You go there and watch your video. Even if you can't donate, just it's an inspiring story. We want people to share that.
Absolutely.
If you want to feel good, this is not a story to make you feel bad. This is empowering, and it's it gives you a little point of reference when you're mad at someone cutting you off in traffic or
what's really important.
Yeah, and that's the other plus of going through something like that is that you realize, you know, what's important, what's not important.
Yeah.
Spend time with your kids and.
You're a great man.
Well,
you really are.
I don't know about that.
You're pretty good.
You're a pretty good man.
I would say
you're fairly decent.
I'm
man.
Not as good as a plumber in Berwyn, but I aspire to be that.
Right. You already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It helps keep Miles in all of our heads, which is important.
It is amazing. I have two people here with me, Natasha, who. Started volunteering for us. I when I first started out, I was at Whole Foods. I would have an area, and that was the only place because I was living in a little small apartment in Fullerton that was in a scary neighborhood. And so to rally people to come help me collect jokes, to tape, connected with a lot of filmmakers and writers. And may I introduce Natasha?
Sure, absolutely.
It's Natasha with an S.
Hi, Natasha.
Not Natasha.
Mm-mm.
And she'll let you know that.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame you.
And then, you know, what did you answered an ad and started
just volunteering?
Yeah, I was looking for an internship, and so I Googled, you know, an assistant's internship, and Joke Smiles was the first thing that came up, and it's the only thing I applied for, and because it just sounded so amazing.
Yeah.
So when I met Len and at Whole Foods, he told me all about Miles and what they were doing. My internship wasn't supposed to start until August. I had met him in June, and I signed up right away.
Yeah.
Every project he handed me, he's like, oh, do you want to do this or this? And I just never left.
Sure, good.
And we had just an incredible support team, Dana and Dan and, oh, my God.
Experimental.
Ryan Christian. Experimental.
the first guy. He's going to kill me. No.
Jason?
Wait, are you guys okay on time? Can we take a minute? If you can stay, we'd love to have you stay a little bit longer. Is that okay?
Dude, we have to stop. We're on a roll here.
I know we are, but...
Are you really going
to
stop me?
We have to. It's the law.
All right.
We have to... You don't want to get
on the... I think it's particularly rude, but we'll play...
It is extremely rude.
We'll roll with this.
Have you ever seen Judy Pilak angry? You don't want to see Judy Pilak angry.
I will defer to you on this.
You don't want to see this.
All right.
All right. More discussion. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude. You bet.
It's so selfish, that Judy Pilak. Never seen anyone like that, have you?
She's not that selfish.
She just plays the role of a selfish person. Len Ostrovich is here, and we're talking about an extremely important cause. It's Jokes for Miles. How many years have we been doing Jokes for Miles?
5 years.
5 years now.
Six? No.
Five.
5 years.
It's 5 years?
Yep.
It doesn't. Isn't it one of those things that it seems like it's been a lot longer, but at the same time you go, or did I just start doing this?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it is because, you know, every day we're, you know, we do a lot of different stuff. We have the website, which is going to be launching this summer, our redesigned website, and we've come up with a technology where you can go right on the site, and we nominate other kids, and you can tell jokes to kids. So you can go on there, and there's kids all over the world, and if you want to read a little bit about them and send them a message, you can go right from your computer or your phone.
It's excellent.
And just say, hey. And the guy who underwrites everything, we're privately funded, and it's a guy who met Miles at one of the Joke-a-thons. And was a big entrepreneur, very successful, and started coming to our, he started interning and hanging out with us. And I remember we needed, we had so many jokes, we had to get a hard drive. And I'm like, well, why don't you just go out and get one? I don't really have anything. Everybody worked for nothing, or potatoes and eggs, right? We would have our potatoes and eggs every day. That's what guys work for, especially Jason and Dana and Dan. And, he's like, well, go get a drive. I'll get it for you. And then he started buying lunch, and then he started just supporting it. And before you knew it, he was by my side in Los Angeles when I went out to for the stem cell transplant and hung out with me when I was staying at the Ronald McDonald House, and has underwritten everything. And he thought it was such a pure thing that we weren't asking for anything.
Yeah.
And he thought the ability that people could really make a difference without reaching into their pocket, because there's so many great causes out there and there's so many ways that you can give money. But a lot of times you don't know where the money's going and, you know, how much of that is actually going to research.
Sure.
And so he felt he's made it his life mission is to create this entity that provides people the opportunity just to make an impact on people's lives, because it does. I mean, you know, the jokes that he got, we had entire schools doing, you know, joke-a-thons, and Beth Toomey, Mike's wife, had the entire student body write and sing a song to Miles, and the celebrities. And it was those people that really made the impact as much, if not more, than the celebrities. He was just blown away, and we were getting, you know, jokes from Australia and literally everywhere. So as I went through that, and we would check the Google Analytics to see where the action was on the site, I wanted to kind of recreate that experience for other kids so they can see where their jokes are coming from. So we have an interactive skyline, and you can type in your name and your city to see where jokes are coming from. And
how cool is that?
It's very cool. I almost don't want to talk about it because people are going to go, and it's not quite done yet. But actually three kids who went to school with Miles at Northside Prep, all brainiacs, have been working with us for 3 or 4 years developing it. And Jeff Sullen, who was their teacher over there for computers, and he got us these first bunch of guys, and they've been there 3 or 4 years, so we've been really in a long development. We've expanded it out to a parent site support for Miles.
Yeah.
And when we got a little notoriety and we'd be in a hospital, you know, people, oh, you're Miles, and, you know, people go, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? And we would start hanging out, and, you know, they're bullying our girl at school. How do you deal with that? Or how do you, you know, get a second opinion? How do you do that? So I started taping parents sharing their stories and giving tips, and then that will be we have a whole database of all different families, caregivers giving tips to other parents and caregivers, because no one knows that journey like you do.
Sure.
And that's actually how I really started getting involved with Joanne, Rosie's mom, is because she was so knowledgeable, knows so many people, and she was one of the first parents, because, you know, sometimes you don't know. You can bring a pillow to the hospital, or, you know, bring your toothbrush because you're going to spend $10, or, you know, just all those little tips that you don't think, or don't be scared to ask your family to mow the lawn or run errands for you, because when you get in that, you don't know how to deal with it. You don't want to impose on people. You don't want to do that. So the whole other side of that, of our websites, what we do is the support for Miles. And then we do all the research. This is where you can get, you know, a great doctor in Taiwan. And we really are striving to be global. And all these parents, we are now translating them into multiple languages. So it's in German, French, Portuguese, Arabic, Chinese. We just recorded Japanese this weekend.
Wow.
And because it's universal, it's the same thing
everywhere. Sure it is.
You know?
Laughter, universal medicine.
Absolutely.
Can anybody listening participate? And what if, like, I wanted to and my joke is stupid?
You can do that now. And we have a temporary page. It's a splash page. You can see the different videos, and that's at Jokes for Miles. But I don't want people going there. I want them to go to Jokes for Miles. Or not to Jokes for Miles, but Rockstar Rosie.
Yeah.
Not that I just really want to push that, and I would love to tell you guys when the new site is there. But if you do want to go, you can at least check us out at jokesformiles.com, and you can see videos. And then there's an actual module. We just put it up so you can tape your joke. And there's four people up there right now. Rosie is one of them.
Yeah.
A kid in Arizona who is also friends of Miles.
Austin, Zeke, and Beckett.
Austin, Zeke, and Beckett are the three, four people. And then we did a joke campaign for Colleen McGrath, who runs...
Camp One Step,
which is just another organization that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
We do all their videos. So having the production background, what I wanted to do was kind of give a thank you back to those specific charities that were so instrumental in helping us, which was Cal's Angels and Make-A-Wish. And so we start doing videos for them. So we help tell their story. So Camp One Step, they had... they were having trouble getting kids that were too scared to do the camp. And it was so... healing for Miles. They took him, they're up in Lake Geneva, and they took him on a ski trip in Utah.
Were they scared to be away from their family, or scared because weren't feeling well?
They weren't feeling well. You know, am I going to be okay? Because they kind of cut the communications off with your parents. They want you to just focus on having fun. And
but it's probably hard for those kids to focus on having fun.
Very hard, yeah. And so they asked us to make a video to show other kids that it's hear what other kids say and what the experience is like. So we just followed them around for a week. We've been doing it for the last three or four years, and just incredible. Any of our crew that goes up here, that's the one thing where everybody wants to volunteer. We want to go to this thing because you'd never know these kids had any ailments.
Yeah.
And they can feel comfortable. They don't have to tell, okay, this is what's going on. I'm in this treatment. They're all with, so that becomes a non-issue.
Right.
So now they're just doing a summer camp like everybody else. And so we've helped them do that, and now they are able to show other kids. So if they go to a social worker at a hospital, here, check out this video, and then they don't feel so intimidated or scared.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a good story for them to rally their other, you know, supporters or donations. So we do that with other charities. So we work with BTB and Pediatric Brain Tumor, and we're going to go down and talk to Dr. Finley at the hospital in Ohio, Nationwide Children's. And that's the other side of not just jokes, but inspiring stories, things that will help people get through it. Because when you're in a parent, you're in the hospital all night.
Sure.
You know, you're just looking for stuff. So I wanted to provide that one-stop shop to help ease the trying to find things. And we're not medical advice, but you have to be... peer-to-peer. You have to be kind of referenced in to get an account.
RockstarRosie.com. Go check her out.
Really quickly, because I had talked to you during, you know, everything Miles was going through, and you had said to me at some point, we really want to travel. He and I just think it's a good idea to hit the road and go to places and see them. Give us a highlight or two. What was a moment or two that you'll never forget?
So he was an incredible lover or fan of photography.
Yeah.
Him and his stepfather collected cameras. He went, right before he got sick, he spent a summer in Paris and France studying photography there. And we were very inspired by the Ken Burns National Park thing. So one of the things we wanted to do was go and do photography, you know, just take pictures at the natural parks before he passed away.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't get to do those. And Jeremy, the guy who's underwritten everything, took us to the Grand Canyon. So we went there and just had an incredible experience. But we did travel a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's very touching at, you know, his birthday was October 10th. And every year we would go to New York and see plays. And T-Shawn would get us into Saturday Night Live. And,
yeah.
And you know, we'd always go and try to, you know, we'd sit at Jay Leno's desk or on the stage. So he really liked it.
T-Shawn was a writer for SNL at the time.
Correct.
So,
So he would hang out. So we had that love of traveling, and we went to that Grand Canyon thing, and it was just an unbelievable. We have a little video. We should put that up on the website if you want to see that, of our trip. And that really inspired wanting to do these time capsules and these remembrances. And every year we're going to take a kid to go take photographs at the Grand Canyon.
That's so perfect. That's great.
I also sell Amway, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that right now.
They'll tell them we got to go.
We have to go. I wish there was time.
Are
for
you
this.
Serious? Because
I wish we could discuss
it's for
Amway.
The kids.
No, I know it's for the kids. And
RockstarRosie.com.
RockstarRosie.com is the place you want to visit. And if you don't mind, my Jokes for Miles isn't a bad website either. I'm so glad you're continuing this. You know, I'm sure there was a decision once we lost Miles as to how much more involvement you wanted, and you chose the right decision.
I'll tell you, at one point I was like, do I want to do this? And I really was like, I didn't want to ask for money. I promised Miles I'd never ask for money.
Yeah.
And this woman right here and Jeremy said, no, you're doing this. Seriously.
That's Natasa.
That's Natasa Zubaridus. And they would not let me stop. And
good.
They have been running this place, and she's been so instrumental. She lost her sister to leukemia. That's how she came into the fold. And I could not be more thankful for this incredible staff that I have, our guys that are designing the website, and all these volunteer filmmakers that come out. And because we want to tell the stories of great businesses like Novak Construction and all these places that rally to support. And, you know, you can do a lot just with a smile and a hello. And hopefully you'll come to our site so that you can, you know, put a smile on your face, too.
That, like, breaks my heart. It makes me want to cry and smile all at the same time because it's sad, but you're trying to make it happy, too.
Well, thank you.
You're doing a good job.
It's amazing.
I appreciate it. I have a great team. Mackie's here on the left. She doesn't talk much, but we brought her in. She's the big gun who's helping us now that we're getting press and people because we want to spread the word.
Sure.
Help a kid smile.
All right, so we're going to give you two websites. It's RockstarRosie.com. That's the must. Lynn says that's the one you must visit.
Go to the Dream Fund. Give them even if it's $5, even if it's to share, you can go to that website and just leave a note. Watch her video and say, hey, I'm inspired by
it. Yeah. How could you not be? It's impossible not to be. So Rockstar Rosie is number one, and then the second one is Jokes for Miles. Len, like I said at the beginning, you have lived through our worst nightmare, you know? So, my heart goes out to you, sir.
Well, thank you.
It really does.
One last thing. It's Bella, her sister. It's her birthday today. Bella's sister.
Happy birthday, Bella.
Another incredible. I mean, to hear.
Ciao, Bella.
she's awesome. And even.
How old is Bella?
17.
17 today. And these kids that are siblings, they.
It's tough.
It's tough for them because always the focus is on that. And Bella is putting together a. Sensational event. So I didn't even tell you, we have a location on the north side of Chicago which has a shop, and I'll talk to you another time about it, but we let charities come in there and use the space. We buy the food and liquor so they can keep the money and not worry about getting a place to hang out. But she's going to host a big party for all the siblings that have siblings fighting cancer.
Yeah.
I could go on and on. Get me out of here.
Right. Is there a saint named Len? Because if there isn't, there should
saint
be.
Saint Lenny, yeah. Saint Lenny was a very popular saint.
He was a very popular...
patron saint of smiles.
Yes. Yes.
Outstanding. Thank you for the time. And
thanks.
It's been great to be here.
Thanks, Len. Great to see you again. We will take a quick break, and then there's a little bit more show. So stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, I'm sad and I'm happy, and I want to check out RockstarRosie.com, and I also want to go look at Jokes 4 Miles. That's Jokes, the number 4 Miles.
Correct. It is a strange rush of emotions. I've talked to Len 100 times, and every time I talk to him, you know, I knew him before Miles was born. I've known him that long. And Len always had a very cavalier sense of humor and attitude toward things. And you know, how could this not change a person losing a child? I don't know if there's anything harder. So he's become a very different person, and he talks very openly about Miles and losing him and what that's meant to him. And like,
but that helps
said,
other people that are going through this
without
right
a
now.
Doubt, without a doubt. That's far and away. If you know, people always go, you know, if somebody dies, they go, what good will come of this? This is a guy who made something good come out of a tragedy. So, yeah, I can't even pretend to imagine what he's been through. But if you're looking at somebody who's come through it and found new meaning and a new path, he's that guy. So.
We got to be nicer people. I mean, really, when we have someone like this on, seriously.
Yeah.
We've got it in us. We just don't know how to make it come out.
Right.
We got to be better.
you know, that moment where he said when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you just you stop thinking about that, that's something on a daily basis. You know, there's a half a dozen things that happen that you find yourself getting frustrated, and then you take a step back and you go, God, how can I possibly be frustrated over something like that when other people have gone through so much more? So, yeah, I guess in a way you learn from this, but it's such a harrowing tale, and I'm so proud of him for figuring out a way to take a horrible situation and turn it into a positive. So,
and I think you have to experience it to learn from it, because just to say you're going to learn from it, it doesn't hit home until you experience it.
Right.
So say your prayers.
We're going to be better people, you're saying.
Well, we should be. I'm not saying we're going to be.
When will that start? Do we know when that starts?
Next week?
July? August? By the end of the year.
Everybody be nice to people.
That's all.
And don't cut anyone else off in traffic,
please.
All right?
That's the first step. Our show is coming to a close. We have completed our Monday show. Tomorrow, the Tuesday show will be heard in this time slot.
So you're excited. Tomorrow's guest.
Well, right out of the box at 10 o'clock on your regular radio, tennis great and sometime hothead John McEnroe.
Sometime.
All-time hothead John McEnroe. Who I've never talked to before, but boy, could that man play tennis. And still does.
Have you idolized him from afar?
Yeah. Actually, because of the restraining order, there was a certain amount of space that I had to admire him from. I could not get closer.
500 feet, is it something like that?
500 feet.
All right, well, will you be able to talk to him tomorrow? You'll be very excited.
I will be overly excited.
Because I don't know much about tennis. I'm going to ask him Tatum O'Neill questions.
Oh, don't.
So you better get it together by tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we will talk to the great John McEnroe. And then there's all kinds of other good stuff. So please tune in tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Greatly appreciate it. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.